available for free through Game Pass. Welcome to This Game Where. This is Chris, and over there is...
me, Ashley! One thing you haven't done is work on your intros over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, we've had a bit of time off, haven't we? Project Zero came out last week, but that was one that had been backed up, so, you know, a little peek behind the curtain there. But yeah, we've had a bit of time off, and the notes for this I wrote about a month and a half ago.
So have you worked on your intros, but they just haven't, it hasn't come through the system yet?
No, this is from a month and a half ago. I just need to blow the dust off it, and we're good to go.
Right, all right. So next week's, or the week after even, that intro, that'll be a superb...
it'll be a peach.
...really crisp piece of work.
Yeah, it will. It'll be efficient. Nice one. And to the point.
And make sense. That's just, I mean, I have a really low bar of, can they just make sense, please?
Keep it low, and that'll be all right.
Right, okay. Bother.
How have you been for the last month and a half?
Oh, all kinds of ways.
You've been ways.
You said, how have I been? You know, I'm not consistently one thing or the other.
That's true.
I'm a changeable human being with many an emotion, and I've run the gamut of them all over the last month or so.
Deep.
Who doesn't?
No, true.
How have you been?
Much the same, really. Actually, I've been ticking along quite nicely.
Yeah, you said to me that you've... what did you say? You've been playing Psychonauts 2.
Oh, yes, I have. It's a beauty.
I can't remember how you said it, but it was really... huh, I haven't really got much to say to you. All I've done is this and this. And I was like, that sounds nice.
Yeah. What about you? What games have you been playing? I've been on Psychonauts 2.
I can't remember where we left off, but I have picked up Helldivers 2. And I've been playing that. It's in vogue. I don't know if you've noticed.
The game we're doing today was in vogue a month and a half ago, and I wrote this, and now no one's going to care about it. So how about that?
Yay! That's nice. Is it Prince of Persia?
No. It did cross my mind to do that, but I mean, we've got here go another peek behind the curtain. We've got Prince of Persia: Sands of Time in the vault, and it would have been perfect to have released that. But
I feel like you're being passive aggressive about us having a month off.
No, not at all. No, it just did. Not in the slightest. It just felt, it feels like an own goal for both of us. That was passive aggressive, and I didn't mean that to be.
I had it really nice.
Yeah?
I thought it was a lovely time. I've realised that there's a direct correlation between the amount of happiness I can feel and how often I see you. There you go. That's not even passive.
That was horrible. That was really cruel.
Yeah. If you're going to be aggressive, be aggressive. Come on. Come out the gates. Come at me.
No, I don't want to. How about that?
Oh, that's passive aggressive. You specialise in passive aggressive. That's what I'm realising. No, I don't want to.
Rising above it.
His face. Oh, if people could see his face now.
Do you want to know which seasonal game we're doing this week then?
Seasonal?
Yeah. It was this...
is it a Valentine's Day game?
Yeah, this was the time of Valentine's Day and everything.
Wow. Okay. I want to guess from just Valentine's Day game, but I can't.
You're not going to.
No. All right, go on then.
This week we're playing this game where you explore a myriad of locations looking for the Dagger of Zion, assaulting a series of resting places. Now, that is a very similar blurb to the start of episode 143.
Oh, it's a Tomb Raider game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is Tomb Raider 2.
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah, this is something I haven't missed about you. Can we just not lay things to rest every so often? Like, just... we did Tomb Raider. It was bad. They made Tomb Raider 2 in about 8 months or something ridiculous. And it's the same game with different layouts. It's going to be bad.
Well, as I said, I wanted to do it to time with the Tomb Raider 1-3 remaster because everyone was loving that back in February 2024. Also, I found out that Valentine's Day is canonically Lara Croft's birthday.
Well, that's very interesting.
So it would have all... coalesced together nicely, but we had a break, so it didn't quite work.
Stop it!
Sorry.
It's your fault. If we're really going to pull the curtain back, it's Chris's fault because his laptop won't run video or audio properly on anything but Microsoft Edge, and that was what spurred it all. Right?
Yeah, true.
Look, passive-aggressive. Aggressive.
Yeah.
Passive-aggressive. I'm pointing at Chris. Passive-aggressive. Pointing at me. Aggressive.
Mm.
Which one's working?
You're right, it is all,
neither.
It is all my
fault. We're undoing. Oh, passive-aggressive. Oh,
that
man.
That was passive-aggressive. It is my fault.
We're undoing each other here. It's not helping anybody. Should we just put it to bed?
Yeah.
Did you not enjoy your time off?
Well, I did, but now I'm thinking that I should have more because you're just being combative.
I think subconsciously you enjoyed your time off a lot, and the fact that you're sat here now doing this is making you be passive aggressive about it.
I think you're doing a lot of projecting there, young man. Tomb Raider 2 then is a game that came out in 1997. It's a third-person action adventure developed by Core Design and published by Eidos, who are now part of Square Enix Europe, hence the recent-ish collaboration with Power Wash Simulator, because that's also owned by Square. This was a PlayStation 1 release that came out on 21st November 1997, worldwide came out on Mac October 1998, and then iOS December 2014 and Android October 2015. Now, you're incensed by the fact we're doing Tomb Raider 2, which I preempted. If it's any comfort, I never played any subsequent Tomb Raider games, so this will be it.
Oh, good.
Two and done.
So you didn't play any of the good ones?
Apparently not. I remember this one being good.
Yeah, but you remember Tomb Raider being good, and then we played it, and it was bad.
But this one takes Tomb Raider 1, and it makes it better. So, you know, got that in its favour.
I'm going to have to play it. So, you know, there's that. But I just don't understand why. I think we try and take this on then. Okay, look, I'm going to try and give some genuine constructive feedback. I think doing these so close together is the issue. Rather than doing them at all, if we were doing Tomb Raider 2 in 2026, we'd be having a different conversation. Because it'd be like, oh, do you remember doing Tomb Raider 5 years ago? As opposed to, oh, do you remember doing Tomb Raider 3 weeks ago?
It was last year.
Oh, it feels like too soon. That's what I'm saying. This is too soon.
It's the remaster collection. That was what spurred this.
People have been saying good things about the remastered collection, but I think they are also people that enjoyed Tomb Raider.
Interestingly, the remaster collection has got a warning at the start that the game has got offensive depictions of people and cultures.
I think that's something that we picked up on in the first one.
Potentially. So it's just worth a mention. So we talked about Lara as a character before in episode 143, so I don't really want to... There's no need to talk about her as a character. And did it 40 episodes ago, for pity's sake, go back and listen to it. The first thing I noticed when I was doing my notes for this was the cover of the game, that she's front and centre Yes, I was going to be a bit more subtle than that, but yes, much more so.
They're not, so why should we be?
No, it's true.
That's the point, I think. At this point, they're extremely lads about it, and it was a defining pillar of the marketing of Tomb Raider games. And I don't really know why we dance around that. It is what it is.
We talked before about the pin-up nature and the fact there were models who would dress up as Lara Croft, the fact that she had appeared in, was it Loadster FHM as well? But yeah. It felt like, it seems to me from the front cover that there's that big push. Eidos did a massive marketing push on this game as well. They tried to promote Lara Croft as a character, you know, trying to get away from the game itself, and they did links with MTV and Pepsi. Apparently she was part of U2's 1997 Pop Mart tour. I assume there's some sort of video thing at the background, but what a really bizarre bit of synergy with that. I'm not really sure what they were reaching for, but they were really throwing the kitchen sink at trying to push her and, by proxy, the game when this came out in November 97.
Right.
In the first game, they wanted her to have a long ponytail, which has since become synonymous with Lara, as I said, as a character and what she looks like, and they were really unable to get it working in the first one, and in this one, just they had it working, but it didn't look natural. It kept doing weird things, and in this one, they've managed to get it right, so that when she does acrobatics, the ponytail, does swing around behind her accurately. So that's nice. She has an increased polygon count and, again, quote, more realistic curves than in Tomb Raider 1, and also has more outfits. I'm aware of how lewd I sounded when I said more realistic curves. I was trying to distance myself a bit.
You didn't.
Yeah, let's move on.
Move on.
Let's move off from her as a character. The game, as you said, had a very, very tight turnaround in development. Work started on this game, Tomb Raider 2, 2 months before number one even released.
Oh, wow. Right, okay.
And Toby Gard, who was the creator of Lara Croft, left during the development of Tomb Raider 2 due to creative differences, because he didn't like the direction that Eidos were forcing them to go into. And he also wanted to make a new game. Fair enough. So he set up his own company and released a game called Galleon on the Xbox, which didn't release until 2004, so quite a long time after this game came out. It's a pirate game. I vaguely remember it coming out, so I couldn't really find a lot out about it, to be honest. And he then went back to work with them for 2006's Tomb Raider Legend.
I like that one.
Yeah, is that one of the good ones you mentioned?
That's one I like. It's one of the ones that I like, yeah.
The game had a 6 to 8 month long crunch, which considering it was turned around in less than a year, the majority of that was on crunch.
Yeah, not goodness.
Yeah, not goodness. There's been a lot of articles of late. A couple of years ago, I guess, there was articles about crunch, and that seems to have died off a bit, and there's been a few rumblings about crunch creeping back in to certain companies of late.
I saw an article about Rockstar telling their staff that they need to get back into the office post-haste because GTA 6 is not looking like it's going to be finished in time, and they're blaming that on people working from home, which I think is bullshit. It is what it is. Is there a degree of crunch to that push?
What I'm saying is I'm surprised that crunch was happening back in 1997 and the fact that it's still happening.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the fact it's still happening now is depressing.
Crunch happening in 1997 makes so much more sense than it happening now. One of the drivers behind working over the odds and pushing yourself to breaking point is passion. Like, genuinely, I think that one of the reasons that crunch is such a prolific, prevalent issue in the industry is because the industry was set up by devotees of the industry, people that their reason to live was making games. When there were so few of them doing it in such small teams, they all drove each other to do that, and there was no issue because they all wanted to do that and be there and have that. At the same time, it was also an industry that's largely built on the backs of young people in terms of, like, I bet the Tomb Raider team in 1997 were skewed significantly young.
I would imagine so.
They'll have been looking to make a name for themselves. They'll have been ambitious and driven, and all of those things together create crunch. When the industry started to blow up, when it started to grow so speedily, and it was bringing in people who, you know, maybe they wanted to make games because they liked playing games and they did really want to be part of the industry, but they also weren't in positions of power. They weren't going to reap the benefits that the small team working on Tomb Raider will have done, because they'll have got massive, massive bonuses, if not a ton of money. There'll have been a lot of reward for the risk that they took, a lot of reward for what they put into it. The bigger the team, the more divorced from the product those workers are, the less the reward will trickle down. And so the cost benefit of devoting yourself in that way, of crunching, becomes lower and lower and lower. You don't have balance in terms of what you give to what you get. And that's where it starts to become a problem.
I think also as well that it became normalized within the industry as well. That was the big thing that kind of a couple of years ago, that seemed to be the overall thing.
Yeah, absolutely that. And one of the reasons it was seen as normal, one of the reasons it became normalized, is because those people that are making Tomb Raider in 1997 then are leading those companies.
Yep.
And they see, well, I was doing that because I was passionate and I was invested and I wanted to do that. But what they don't then do is extrapolate out to the bigger picture of now as opposed to then, and this imbalance between what people put in and what people get out.
Well, it seems prudent there to maybe mention as well that Tomb Raider 3 came out in 1998, and then there was a fourth Tomb Raider game in 1999, and as part of that game, the team killed her off at the end of it because they were fed up of the stress and strain that churning the games out was putting on them all. Obviously, it didn't last that long because at least in 2006, Tomb Raider Legend came out, so I don't know if there were any other games in that interim as well. The game was planned for the Saturn as well, because Tomb Raider 1 had been on the Saturn, but the console couldn't handle it, so it was cancelled. And then during, very late on in development, in September 1997, only a couple of months before the game came out, Eidos then signed an exclusivity deal with Sony so that Tomb Raider would just be on the PlayStation only until the year 2000. So Tomb Raider 3 and presumably 4 as well, or the fourth one, so it was called Tomb Raider 4, I don't know. But they were all PlayStation 1 exclusives.
Cool.
There were complaints about the original having a lack of combat, which, when we played it, there were bits where you were fighting against animals, but it was largely wandering around empty spaces, from what I recall. So they increased the combat focus for this game, including armed humans, more than just animals. So she's killing people, yay. And there are still animals as well, which meant more action and also more bosses as well. But they tried to balance that with including the exploration aspect as well. There are also vehicles in this game. There's a speedboat and snowmobiles as well. I don't know if it's the first level, but it's very early on in the game. You go to Venice, and Venice, I certainly remember bombing around that in a speedboat and finding it great, great fun.
It sounds fun. I imagine it won't be.
Well, it's good you go into an open mind, my friend.
I started out with, I think that was pretty balanced.
Yeah, all right, good, good. Well, well done.
You're such a dick.
They added climbing, wading, and grenades into the game. They tweaked the camera so that it was more precise and included more variety in levels, including more outdoorsy areas, so getting away from raiding tombs. I remember the Venice level in particular being very bright and very red
right.
as well. The person who did music, Nathan McCree, did music, and for this one, he was given 3 months to make the music instead of the 4 weeks he had for the first one. So it meant he wrote much more music and could direct more specifically how the music was used within the game as well.
Cool.
The plot of the game is that Lara is searching for the Dagger of Xian, X-I-A-N, which is a magical weapon that was used by a Chinese emperor to command his army. By sticking it into the owner's heart, it transformed that person into a dragon, which made me think of...
Broken Sword?
Tears of the Kingdom. Does that have any Broken Sword as well?
I think there's Broken Sword 4 or Broken Sword 3. I think it's Broken Sword 3 where it goes 3D. There's a big old...
Sleeping Dragon. Makes sense.
I think there's something about becoming a dragon if you go to Glastonbury.
Yeah, sure.
I'm pretty sure that's like part of the ending of that game. You go to... some like the baddie goes to Glastonbury Tor and they want to turn into a dragon or something or wake a dragon up. Can't really remember. Somehow.
So the game then becomes a race against time to trot around the globe to find it against the bad guys who are called the Fiamma Nera, who are an Italian cult who want to use the dagger for bad reasons, and it's a question of who will win, presumably Lara. And you go around Venice, the Great Wall of China, Tibet, a shipwreck, an oil rig, and there are different collectibles on each level that are optional for you to find as well. The gameplay is the same as before, wander around tombs, as I said, shooting when you find things to shoot, exploring, climbing, and so on. The game has got a Metacritic score of 85. How long to beat is 16 hours or 21.5 for completionists.
That's too long.
A massive seller, it became the second best-selling PlayStation title in the UK.
A massive smeller.
Nice. And I played it primarily at my uncle's on his PC, but my brother got it as well. I definitely played it on the PlayStation as well. That's that. Yeah,
my friend had it, and we chose to play A Bug's Life instead. Much better game.
Yeah, I've got stories about Bug's Life, but we'll talk about that when we do A Bug's Life at some point.
It's a good game. We should talk about that today. Should we play that?
No, we're playing Tomb Raider 2.
We know what Tomb Raider is. We know what Tomb Raider is. We can go and have a look at A Bug's Life. I think we can get away with it.
So it's time to play it now. Are you ready?
Fine. Okay, it's time. No.
Tom Brader. You said partway through about calling it Tom Brader, and it triggered a memory that I think I did used to call it exactly that because of LOL times.
Yeah, I think you might have told me that, and then it's just lodged in some small part of my brain.
Well, did it elicit a smile, Tom Brader? Did it elicit more of a smile than actually playing the game?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it did, yeah. I started the game. I didn't really get anywhere with it because there's a deeply annoying jump right in the first moment of the game. You kill a tiger, you wade through some water, then you do a jump. It was that jump, the third thing in the game, that did it for me. I tried it 15 times and couldn't get it. It's like a weird diagonal jump where you have to jump and then grab, and it's stupid.
Well, the jump is weird because I got stuck at that bit as well. So I even got to the extent that I went on YouTube and watched a playthrough of that bit of the level because I was like, well, I can't do this jump. What am I doing wrong? And for that to be, as Ashley said, the third thing in the game, and for both him to get stuck and then me to get confused to the point that I had to then check a guide to find out, is that definitely what I should be doing? That's quite telling.
There's a caveat of, I think, I'd have been frustrated by this game anyway, but there's also this external element that I've got an ankle sprain and it is hurting. And when I'm sat in the desk, it hurts more, which is winding me up. So I have less patience. At the same time, there was game design elements of problem with the jump because it was a diagonal jump that is going to be more difficult to do anyway. But the reason it's going to be more difficult to do is because of the control scheme. Control scheme is crap. In exactly the same ways that it was crap in the first game, it's crap again now. And lining up a diagonal jump where you're more likely to run into the wall than you successfully do the jump is frustrating in the extreme. And there was a really simple, straightforward way to avoid that, and it was to make it a straight on jump. It's ridiculous.
And then you do this jump and you kind of gradually wend your way up this chasm that you're in through all these platforms, and you get so high up and then suddenly you have to jump kind of back on yourself. And there might be ways to move the camera that I didn't figure out, but I was having to kind of jump sideways and just kind of jump, run and jump and hope for the best that I would make it over this chasm because I couldn't position the camera where I wanted. So there's elements of trust there that I'm putting into that Lara's going to do what I wanted her to do. First time I tried it, she didn't. I fell all the way back down again, lost a load of my health, and then, okay, I've got to get my way back up to that point, including this initial diagonal jump, which is really frustrating. There's also every time you jump, when you're doing big jumps, you've got to then jump and then also hold down X so that she grabs onto the edge of the ledge on the other side and haul herself up. So there's this added kind of complication of fiddliness to the controls that doesn't really need to be there, because could she grab onto it automatically and hoist herself up? I don't know.
With better executed controls, that wouldn't even be a problem. You just roll onto the grab button with your thumb. And there are plenty of games, even games that came out around the same time as Tomb Raider came out, there are plenty of games that have more considered, more polished control schemes that you'd be able to do what you've termed fiddly, but I'd term intricate control maneuvers. And this is, it's just not one of them. I remember when we did Future Cop LAPD, I think it was called, we talked about how some of the design had been designed around the difficulty of the controls. Because the controls were a bit fiddly, there was actually a moment of challenge where you had to get over a bridge, and the bridge was narrow, and the challenge there was you need to get over this bridge with these shit controls. It feels like there's a degree of similarity here to that situation where they have designed a game with bad controls, a poor control scheme, and then they've added difficulty by ruffling your feathers with that control scheme. And they are also doing it right from the beginning of the game. I don't appreciate that.
But this first level, it just felt like, this is Tomb Raider. You've got these jumps to execute that are tricky, and if you're not on board, then...
The jumps were tricky in an uninspired and offensive way, is what I would say. I don't think that they needed to be... What I like about platformers a lot of the time is like this flow of movement and precisely placed obstacles that allow you to be challenged by timing and execution. For those to work, you need a good control scheme. I would be completely happy for them to really, really challenge me, even from the beginning, to challenge me in the game with that kind of platforming if the controls were up to it. You design for your control scheme. Does that make sense? You design for your control scheme. It's no good making things unnecessarily obtuse if your control scheme can't account for it.
And I also found the nature of this first chasm we're talking about, that you do a jump and then you do a back on yourself and you jump over across. It's very, very stop-start, the whole thing of it. Like you just mentioned platforming games, and that's one of the things I like about platforming games, is that flow you get into of understanding when to jump. There's a flow to it, and it all goes together really nicely. There's none of that at all. I appreciate it's not a platforming game, but you've got the first area is platforming.
Yeah, it is. And when you say it's not a platforming game, what is the genre? Is it like adventure?
Action adventure, I'd assume.
Yeah, so you can't discount it as, oh, well, it's not a platforming game, because they've built platforming into it. So regardless of what genre it's hiding amongst, it is a platformer. I'd argue it's more of a platformer than it is a shooter. Like the shooting mechanics in this game and in the previous one are so... rote, so automated that there is no challenge there. You press the buttons.
Yeah, exactly. You press the buttons, draw your pistols, and then because pistols have unlimited ammo, you just hammer the fire button until the enemy that you're automatically targeting at is killed, and that's that.
So, okay, I get there's a cinematicness. I don't know really if it even is cinematic to be taking down big predator animals. But there's an adventurousness to that, maybe.
Bit of wish fulfillment.
Yeah, something like that. There's that, but beyond that, there's not really anything there. I've always been a little bit poo-poo-y about Uncharted games, which obviously follow on genetically from this. And one of the reasons that I don't really like Uncharted games is because the gunplay is counter to the quick quip sort of character of Nathan Drake, and the comedic bombast of his character just doesn't really chime very well with Mow Down 30 Men. What I like about any of these games more than anything is the puzzle solving element and the platforming element, certainly in the later ones. And certainly with Nathan Drake, it just felt jarring to be forced into these run and gun, mow down the enemies situations. It really bounced off that. With Tomb Raider, I think that she is so intrinsically tied to those guns that maybe you don't have that problem, in as much as she is very much the marketing was around her being this gun-toting, dual-wielding heroine. So that's not the issue here. I think the issue really is that it is for the flash as opposed to for the gameplay. The guns are there not for game reasons. They're there for flash reasons.
It's part of the image.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that aspect of gameplay as well. The other thing that I found quite tricky to navigate was the actual levels themselves, because they go from being funneled that you're going down a corridor and then you come to the end of the corridor, turn right or whatever it is, and then you're then in areas where it was then very difficult to understand what to actually do. The first level, the chasm, was, again, as I said, I looked at this video because I didn't really understand where to go and how to get there. My progress through the first level was hampered by this kind of, okay, I'm in a bit of an open area, what do I do? Get through it. Okay, I've got through it. Now I'm in a corridor to get to the next one. And that stop-start nature of gameplay, the actual gameplay itself, regardless of the character movement, again, stymied my enjoyment of the game, because I found it just, I couldn't get into the flow state again.
The exploration's not really rewarding, I don't think, in these games. I can't really speak to this one because I really did bang out super early, but I think if I were to speak to that, it's because of how it was bringing back the bad memories of playing the game. And I say that both as a bit of a tongue-in-cheek thing, but also quite seriously. Like, there's nothing really speaking for this one that puts it above the other one.
The first level felt a bit more engaging. This one that we played today felt there was a bit more to do than in the first one, but I still didn't enjoy it. And I, full disclosure, I didn't even complete the first level. I got to a bit where I was chased by some boulders, which was really dramatic, cinematic, Indiana Jones. I really liked it. The music kicked in and it was quite exhilarating to play. I was removing the boulders, and then suddenly the boulder appeared through the camera so that I couldn't see where Lara Croft was, because my camera was just entirely occupied by a boulder. Couldn't see where I was going. The boulder then killed me. End of level. I've got to then restart the whole level. And because I found the whole level so frustrating to get to that point, not interested at all. Gave up.
Yeah. I'd be interested to experience them again in this remastered collection, if only to see what they've done to polish them. If they haven't touched the control scheme, and part of me thinks that they won't have done. I was talking to someone recently about it, and they said Tomb Raider is tank controls, so you can't really remove the control scheme and it still be the same games. I think to some degree for the first set of games, this first trilogy and number four, I guess, that might be true. But then you get to the reboots or whatever, the Legends and the Anniversaries, and then the reboots of the reboots, Tomb Raider and Rise and Shadow, get to them, and they are really solid games that do the franchise justice, do the character more justice, and give you a much more polished experience, and one where the controls, frankly, don't get in the way of your being able to accomplish things or enjoy it all.
Well, just looking over my notes as well, there is one thing I should have maybe mentioned at the start of the second half, is that the first level, the whole Tomb Raider 2, was designed to be difficult from the off, because they're anticipating people going into it to have completed Tomb Raider 1 and understand how Lara controlled. It is, because then it alienates people who haven't played that, or people who maybe the gap between playing Tomb Raider 1 and Tomb Raider 2 is quite a long time. It's certainly a choice that I think for us did not pay off.
Yeah, well, that's just really, again, stupid. That speaks of people who are so in the hole of development that they're not making sense to anyone but themselves.
That they're just thinking, oh, it's fine, people go along with it anyway.
It's the old classic of, well, I get it, so why don't you?
There were some positives. They've added a 180-degree drop roll, which I don't know if you noticed that. That was good at navigating my progress through a couple of times. There's also flares added in. I didn't use any, but they apparently were received quite well. I also really like Croft Manor. That I enjoyed exploring that because I remember spending a lot of time playing that back in the day. And the butler would appear randomly. You just hear the tray of his glasses clinking behind you, and suddenly you'd have spawned in behind you. That brought back some fond memories. However, exploring a fairly empty manor and just kind of going and going, oh yeah, I remember going here before 20 or so years ago, more than that, 25 years ago, that's not enough to make me look back on the game fondly.
There's probably like just bias here speaking, but when I play the best games or the purportedly best games of the PlayStation, it makes me appreciate what I had at the time, which was a limited library of Nintendo 64 games. I didn't have many, but the ones that I had were, I feel, really solid experiences and some of the best examples of genre games of that period. I don't regret missing out on Tomb Raiders, having seen what they are, like really, certainly with Tomb Raider 1, giving it a good go. It was not fun.
I got to the Venice level. I definitely remember playing the Venice level on both my uncle's PC and the PlayStation copy that my brother had. I haven't played through this today. I don't know how I even got past the first level, to be quite honest. Everything just feels stacked against the player, and it just doesn't feel like a very good game.
I would expect that we've talked about it in the past, like you can only play what you've got, so you will have bashed your head against it until you were bloody to get to play it, because you didn't have a choice of necessarily taking it back or swapping it for something else or whatever. So I'd imagine that comes into play to some degree.
And I suppose you've also got to take into account, you've talked about how you're not particularly feeling it today either as well. So just give it a bit of balance. But overall, I'm trying to give it its fair due. I still don't think it's a very good game.
The only difference I think that this made, that having, you know, a slightly shorter run-up for frustration, is that I gave it 15 to 20 goes as opposed to 50 goes. And regardless of whether I'd gotten over that jump or not, the fact that it was even there is a real damning indictment of the design choices on there.
100%.
It's such a small thing. All they needed to do was extend that platform by a meter so that you had a forward-facing jump.
It felt unnecessarily challenging. And also Croft Manor, there was a big old obstacle course there, which was the tutorial for the game. Yeah. But they put that weird timer on where you had to complete every single part of it perfectly in order to complete, in inverted commas. So the first bit was a jump. And if you missed the jump, so that as soon as you started the course, the time would start. And if you missed that jump by falling off the platform, you then had to restart and go back to start and start the whole thing again. I then got to the second jump. Okay, I'm doing all right now. I've fallen off. I've then got to start all over again. And the game wasn't telling you how to control her or what to press. It was just figuring out yourself.
It was telling you after the fact, which speaks to what you said about the developers thinking that every player that comes into Tomb Raider 2 will have played Tomb Raider 1. Because it's letting you make the mistake before it corrects you. But I would say that that's a really bad way of teaching, because you need to exemplify, you need to model before you can expect someone to take something on.
I remember Tomb Raider 1 having a tutorial, because it was all that her manor was, because it was on the inside of the manor in the first one. This is from the outside, and you go into it. That in the first one, it was that all the stuff was in boxes because she was off Gallivant's world exploring, so you were then climbing up the boxes and jumping across the boxes and having to do this whole pressing X and doing the run-up jumps and stuff. So the tutorial element was in Tomb Raider 1, but I think there was some help text on it. I think she said, actually, she spoke how to do each one. Whereas in this, there was, like you say, it was nothing, and then after you'd done it, oh, you should have done this, by the way. Anyway, Tomb Raider 2 is a bit remarkable as a title because it is, I don't know if it's the first, but certainly one of the first games that had some DLC. There were some levels that came out called the Golden Mask that was set in Alaska, where Lara Croft is trying to find a golden mask. It's a whole new story, and it was four levels that were released weekly throughout April 1999, so after the release of Tomb Raider 3, strangely. And then it was then released as a full-on expansion pack alongside a re-release of Tomb Raider 2 in May 1999. These levels were free to anyone who had Tomb Raider 2. However, licensing issues meant that subsequent re-releases of Tomb Raider 2 did not include the Golden Mask DLC, but the remaster collection does.
Oh, exciting. Yeah. Good for them.
The remastered collection, as I said, has got this quantifier at the start about the depictions of some cultures. The remaster collection uses the original source code and it's made with fans who have made mods to the game, which reminded me a bit of Sonic Mania as well. And they've made quite a few tweaks to the game, including controls, interestingly, health bars for enemies, which this one certainly didn't have. The whole game's upscaled, and as I said in the start of the first half, it's been received very well. I'm not going to be rushing to play it, having played Tomb Raider 2 today.
I won't be playing it unless it comes to some kind of Game Pass, a subscription service. And even if it does that, it won't be top of my priority list. And if I do end up playing it, it's only to see if they've made any positive changes to the game control schemes.
There's a lot of caveats there, aren't there?
Yeah. I wouldn't be putting time into this. They're just not my thing. I don't think that I can play them without the nostalgia inflection.
The remaster collection has been lots of these things. They're aimed at people who played it back in the day, and because you don't have that impetus, you're just not invested.
Not invested at all. Less invested having experienced the games that they're remastering. So
yeah. Tomb Raider 2 also came out on PlayStation 3 in 2012 and came out on Good Old Games in the same year. All three are currently available on Good Old Games for £7 at the moment. It's also on Steam for £6. It's no longer on iOS or Android because I couldn't quite find the reason why. Some sources pointed to a potential operating system conflict error and some places said about licensing issues, but either way, it's not available on iOS or Android anymore. The remaster collection is therefore the best place to play this if you want to play it. It's £18 to £25 on all current consoles, and then there's lots of things going on with Tomb Raider. There's animated series in the works at Netflix, there's the whole game series as a whole, there's films, reboots, and so on. But we talked about that at the end of 143, so if you're interested in any of that, I don't think anything's changed in the last year since we recorded Tomb Raider 1, so you can listen to us talk about that at the end of that episode. And that's Tomb Raider 2. Done. No more.
Thank goodness. I mean, there will be other Tomb Raider games, because I played them. I played the ones from the Xbox 360 era.
Right.
And then subsequently the reboot.
And these are ones that you said were good.
I really liked them, yeah. They balanced much better the puzzle solving aspects and the platforming aspects with the combat. It was a modern take on the franchise and it paid to have those modern sensibilities.
Were they the ones where she was a younger girl, like 17, yeah, 18, on an island?
They touted the first one as like an origin story. Origin stories were everywhere at the time. And this was hers. And it plays very, very well. And I would say that it almost certainly holds its own now, even. So that's where I'd send people.
Okie dokie. There we go. Tomb Raider 2, done. Recommendation is go elsewhere. Thank you very much for listening. If you've enjoyed, remember to join us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, and do the liking, the sharing, subscribing, the rating, and reviewing, please. It would mean the world to us. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for joining us again, and we will see you again with another episode next week. Bye.
Lots of love. Bye.